You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. What we're going to do on today's program is further examine the most powerful trends in terms of economic, social beliefs, spiritual beliefs that are capturing the minds and hearts of young people and a spectrum of adult generations, a wide spectrum of adult generations, perhaps beginning in the 60s and 70s, that whole counterculture revolution, which I was part of and many of you were part of. Now, we have become obviously adults, hopefully adults, and we have brought our counterculture, some of us have brought our counterculture ideas into the leadership positions of our nation and the world, like the White House, etc. Now, there's a very interesting phenomenon that's going on, and it's imperative that we pay attention to it. And it interfaces completely with what is going on in your life, the life of your children and grandchildren, the life of America, the life of the European Union, and the life of nations all around the world. Now, the Bible is very clear about a whole spectrum of topics. The Bible was never intended to be taught and read as just a, quote, spiritual book. That is a massive theological error, theological deception, perpetuated by the so-called evangelical church, which claims to be, but certainly is not, a Bible-believing church. Let's get back to the basics. Jesus Christ is not only the Savior. Jesus Christ is not only the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. Jesus Christ is not only the only being that can forgive us of our sins, who died for our sins on the cross, took the penalty of sin and death upon himself on a cross as the Lamb of God, so that if we put our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only are we individually forgiven of all of our sins, but by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can become born again by the Spirit of God. And when we're born again, we become joint heirs with Jesus. Now remember, Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. His wealth is infinite. His kingdom is infinite. And as joint heirs with Jesus, we are guaranteed access, full access to that infinite inheritance, a glorified body, eternal life, the kingdom of heaven, paradise, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, and living forever in a joyous, creative, wondrous paradise. Well, that's a lot, man. Now, God warned us from the very, very beginning of time that there exists an evil being whose name is Lucifer, or Satan, who is a very, very powerful, and perhaps, well, he is. He's the highest ranking fallen angel, and he used to be God's right-hand man, God's right-hand man, but he really wasn't a man. He was an angel, a fallen angel, a powerful fallen angel. But the Word of God says that Satan began to rebel against God because iniquity or sin was found in his heart, and he was not content being this powerful, creative angel. He, in his lust for power, Lucifer wanted to be God. He wanted to be worshipped as God on the throne room of God. So he used, and this is very important to master this subject, and you'll hear me say that a lot on the Paul McGuire Report. There's a lot of Christians who dabble in the truth of God's word. They're like, they're like guys who play sports on the weekend. They can be good. But there's a big difference between a guy who's playing basketball on the weekend let's say, who sells insurance all week and is not really in shape, and a guy who plays professional basketball for a living. I mean, the difference is night and day. So there's a lot of Christians who dabble in the Word of God, and they have not mastered the Word of God. In other words, they have not studied. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. We see very little of that in the modern Christian church, where men and women study with such intense diligence that they are literally approved by God, because they gain the knowledge of God through their discipline and prayer and focus. There's very little of that in the modern evangelical church. What we see instead is a lot of people boasting and proud and strutting around who really don't know the Word of God. They don't really know what it says. They haven't mastered it. And in their pride, this is the dangerous part, in their pride, they strut around like peacocks, you know, but they really don't know the Word of God. And not only that, they really don't know Jesus. I mean, most of you know there's a big difference between knowing all about Jesus and all about God's Word and actually knowing Jesus, having a personal, intimate relationship, friendship with Jesus. There's a huge difference between walking closely with Jesus in an intimate relationship and then just in a cold and detached way academically knowing all about Jesus. The person who knows Jesus knows what Jesus thinks, knows what Jesus' heart is all about. He or she just doesn't know about Jesus. So we have a real need in our time period for men and women and young people to be serious students of the Word of God, who are willing to rightly divide the Word of God. In other words, they're going to examine one scripture upon another, precept upon precept, so that they can compare different verses and then they can come to an accurate interpretation of what God is trying to communicate, instead of running off half-cocked with a misunderstanding of what the scripture says. And Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So to the degree that God's people have bothered to discipline themselves and take the time to master his word and rightly divide the word of God, it's to that degree that the truth sets them free. And that has an exponential effect in our lives, our families, our churches, our nation, and all across the world. Christians who know the Lord personally, Christians who walk personally with the Lord, God is able to do all kinds of supernatural things through their lives. But Christians who only know about the Lord from afar, they're somewhat weak and powerless. So the challenge for you and I is we have to ask ourselves this question. Are we going to be content to be among those people who know about Jesus from a distance? Are we going to be content to be people who know about the Word of God? Are we content to be people who read the Word of God, but we really haven't paid the price to rightly divide the Word of God? You see, because if we're content with that kind of superficial, error-ridden relationship with Christ, we're not going to bear the kind of fruit that God wants us to bear in the last days. I hope you pray about that. I hope you ponder about that, because the consequences are the difference between night and day. We are literally, as I've said many times before in the Paul McGuire Report, we are literally at the crossroads in America and around the world. We are in the greatest spiritual battle that has ever occurred in the history of mankind. And America is perhaps the center place of this battle, although this intense spiritual battle is going on in every nation on earth. So whatever nation you live in, I guarantee you, this spiritual battle is raging in your nation. So what is the key to victory? What is the key to accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish? And we have to start by rightly dividing the Word of God. And the Word of God very clearly tells us that He called you personally by name. He knew you personally by name before the foundation of the world, before your mother and father conceived you in your mother's womb, and He had a plan for you. So He pre-planned for you to be here in this time period to fulfill a specific mission that He has assigned to you before the creation of the world. And so before you were created, He knew you before the world was created, and He downloaded into you all kinds of talents and abilities, spiritual gifts and natural gifts, so that you could victoriously accomplish the mission He built you for. And you and I are in the latter part of the last days. And God says very clearly that when we enter the latter part of the last days, that He expects His church and His people to, by faith, access all that has been downloaded in them for a specific purpose at the end of the age. The latter part of the last days is also referred to as the end of the age. And so it's not an accident. You know, it's really not. Think about this. It's not an accident that you and I are alive in the various nations that we live in at the latter part of the last days and at the end of the age. It's not an accident. God doesn't make mistakes. He planned for you and I to be here for such a time as this. God called us to be here for such a time as this. And so we're in this raging spiritual battle. And what is the raging spiritual battle really all about? It's about the fact that God is love. And it is God's desire, because He is love, to bring every single man and woman, young boy, young girl, it's God's desire to bring every single person that He can with Him into heaven by having someone preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, to have somebody win their souls so that they will pray the sinner's prayer and they will become born again. And God is heavily invested in this, as you and I should be. This is God's number one priority because He's love. It's God's desire that every person born comes into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ so that they can spend all eternity with God in heaven forever and ever and ever. And so the spiritual battle revolves around the fact that the devil, the god of this age, the god of this temporal Babylonian system, with all of its spiritual deception, the devil and the fallen angels are trying to blind the eyes of the unbelieving that they might not see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So the devil is doing everything he can to blind people from seeing that God is freely offering salvation to every person, if they'll simply receive it by faith and become born again, and then they will enter the kingdom of heaven with their brand new glorified body and live forever and ever with God in heaven, where there'll be a great cosmic reunion called the marriage supper of the Lamb. So as we look at the prophetic timetable, we see that thousands and thousands of years have passed from the time when God the Creator, capital C, first created all of creation, planet Earth, the stars. God created the fish and the birds and the trees, etc. But God also created the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, in the image of God. He created them, male and female. And then He told them to be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because God wants. See, God rejoices. God doesn't have the mindset of the people of this world. You see, the super elite the globalist elite of this world, the people who are the super wealthy international bankers, many of them secretly, privately, are worshiping Lucifer. And they have, if not directly worshiping Lucifer, they have embraced, because they've rejected the word of God, Luciferian ideas. And one popular Luciferian idea that the elite have embraced is that the root cause of all of mankind's problems is overpopulation, too many people on planet Earth. And yet, if we study the word of God, that is a complete and utter lie. And should that surprise us? No, because Satan is the father of lies, and Lucifer is the father of lies. And so the whole notion that mankind's problems are attributed to overpopulation growth is a total lie, a total lie. And here's the tragedy. Not only do most people in Western nations, because of the media, because of the propaganda, because of the mind control, because of the educational system, not only have they been persuaded through propaganda, mind control, etc., to believe this lie about overpopulation, but the vast majority of people who call themselves Christian ministers, seminaries, seminary professors, Christian Bible teachers, and yes, tragically, individual Christians themselves, instead of walking in the truth of God's word, they have rejected the truth of God's word and accepted the lie of Lucifer, which says that man's greatest problem is excessive population growth, and the only way we can solve this problem of excessive population growth is to, and these are brutal words. The elite use these words privately among themselves, but sometimes they just come boldly out and say it in their literature. So what I'm telling you now, you can look up. This is a term that the elite use. It's not made up. It's not a conspiracy theory. The elite, people like Prince Charles, head of the World Wildlife Fund. The purpose of the World Wildlife Fund is not just ecology and wildlife, as they would like you to believe. The real purpose of the Wildlife Fund has a lot to do with getting rid of the excessive population growth of human beings. That's why they have the Georgia Tombstones. The Georgia Tombstones is this monument discovered, and it's kind of like a pillar, and it has like what appears to be like 10 commandments etched into the stone or whatever it's made out of. But instead of the 10 commandments of God, it has etched in stone the commandments of man. And one of the primary commandments of man is this belief that they say their goal is to reduce the Earth's present population, which is, I think, around 7 billion people, to reduce it down to like 3 billion people or less, far less, in a very short time span of years. So they have a radical plan to reduce the population of planet Earth by about 4 billion people in a short time span of years. Now, how, and they call that, by the way, they have an expression for it. They call it culling the herd, because they view us like a bunch of dumb cattle that have breeded too much, and therefore they say they need to cull the herd. We're the herd, because they view us as animals, like pigs, like cows and stuff like that. So they're going to cull the herd, which is a term that ranchers use who are, raising cows, etc. And when the cows, etc., breed too much and breed too fast, the ranchers use the term, we need to cull the herd, which means to kill off the excess herd, because they can't feed the excess herd, and it could be potentially life-threatening to the herd they intend to raise to sell and generate food, etc. You see how they view us? This isn't a conspiracy theory. I'm not giving you a conspiracy theory. I'm giving you a statement that has been used over and over again by the globalist elite. The same people, by the way, who control organizations like Planned Parenthood, the same people who control the mainstream media, the international globalist elite, and the wealthy international banking families, you see, they view themselves as highly genetically superior human beings, God-men or women, if you will. They believe they're genetically superior, and therefore they believe that they have the Darwinian right. And when I say the Darwinian right, I mean they believe totally in the theory of evolution and Charles Darwin. They don't believe in God, like Darwin didn't believe in God. They don't believe in the Adam and Eve account of creation. They believe that there's no such thing as right or wrong. They believe that there is no God. There's just man and evolution. Now, the way Charles Darwin outlined his theory of evolution is he said that mankind randomly evolved from nothing over about 500 million years. And in the evolutionary process, might makes right. The fittest survive. So the concept is like the world is like this vicious jungle. And those species that are the smartest, the most powerful, the most cunning, they will, through evolution, destroy by their brute force the weaker animals and the weaker species. And that's how the process of evolution works. It's kind of like evolution is this very cruel, cold solar system where the superior animals and creatures kill off the weaker ones, and then the superior creatures evolve and they mate with other superior creatures, and therefore you have an evolution towards a God-man. Now, the elite believe in this, and this is what they're teaching your children in school, by the way. And ideas have consequences. Remember that. Ideas have very, very, sometimes brutal consequences. So when you're busy indoctrinating hundreds of millions, if not billions, of young people over many generations that there is no biblical God, there is no right or wrong, there is only a soulless nature system in which those species that are the strongest, the most intelligent, the fittest, will over time destroy the weaker species, cull off the herd, and the stronger and smarter species will evolve, and the weaker species will be killed off. So they apply the same principle to humanity, and they're very serious about it. You see, there's a lot of Christians who embrace this. There's a lot of people in secular society embrace this, and they don't really understand what they're embracing. They don't really think it through. It's the acceptance of a very brutal system. So evolution teaches that the fittest survive. It's saying life on planet Earth or other planets is like a bunch of animals in the jungle thrown together. And those animals that are the strongest, the meanest, the cruelest, they will kill off the weaker species, and the stronger species will survive and evolve. It's just that simple. There is no loving God. There's no such thing as love. There's no such thing as right or wrong. It's all brute force. And people say, oh, you know, we believe in evolution. And they dress up evolution and make evolution so cute and so appealing and so environmentally friendly, and, you know, trees and bears and cuddly animals. You see, they don't really want to take the gloves off and show you the brutality of evolution. So they dress it up and they make a lie out of it. they're lying to you and your children about evolution. They make it some cuddly thing that, you know, we're going to take care of the little bears, and, you know, the kids play with the fish, and nature is in this wonderful, peaceful, utopian harmony with men and children. But that's a lie. That's not what they believe. And so, because they have rejected God's word, and they have rejected specifically God's word in the Genesis account of creation, where God specifically says that when he was creating the earth, he created the original man and woman. So God not only created the animal species, the birds, the fish, etc., but God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created the male and female. So mankind's existence and creation is not the result of the mythology or lie of Charles Darwin's evolutionary theory. It is the result of the creation of God, because God created man and woman in his own image. And he has placed inside every man or woman what's called the knowledge of God. The law of God is written on the hearts of every man or woman. Deep down inside, every man or woman knows that God exists. And deep down inside, every man and woman knows what's right and what's wrong, because God placed that law inside of them. And so man is not the product of this belief system based on lies, which is Charles Darwin's evolutionary theory, which says that man evolved randomly over 500 million years from you know, molecules, and eventually became human beings. That's not how man came into being at all. You see, this is hammered. You have to really grasp the significance of this. What I'm talking to you about right now is perhaps one of the greatest satanic strongholds erected in every society, every nation, and every culture on planet Earth right now. What I'm talking to you about, which is the lie of evolution, is literally a satanic stronghold. Now remember, the definition of a satanic stronghold is it's a satanically energized thought or idea that's in our mind, heart, and soul. But it's always based on a lie, and it's designed to imprison men and women from knowing the truth. But it's more than just a lie belief. It's actually a thought system, an ideology, and a belief system that is supernaturally energized by Lucifer. So right in the center of every modern society, there is this stronghold, this supernatural, satanically energized stronghold, which says that there is no creator God, there is no biblical God, there is no infinite personal living God of the universe. The only thing there is nothing, like Charles Darwin said, and mankind, men and women, are nothing more than the product of random evolutionary chance that occurs over like 500 million years. In other words, man spontaneously, randomly, and for no good reason, evolved from a bunch of molecular particles, bacteria or whatever, and then as 500 million years pass by, man finally evolves into a higher species called man, men and women. But the entire thing is a lie. And it's a satanic lie. Now, this same stronghold regarding Darwinian evolution and the nature of the creation of men and women is not only a stronghold that is, if you were to look at every nation, if you were to look at every people group, if you were to look at every political ideology and ask what is the secret dynamo in an unseen dimension that's driving the belief system regarding the people's belief about their own reality and the reality of life, you would see embedded, or perhaps a stronger and more precise would be, you would see that programmed into the belief system of all these nations and men and women and boys and girls is the satanic stronghold based on a lie. Because remember, a satanic stronghold is a supernaturally energized argument, which essentially is a lie, but it's propped up by satanic energy. So the lie is that man was not created by an infinite personal living God of the universe, as the Bible says, that man spontaneously evolved over 500 million years, and it was completely a random chance, spontaneous event, which has no meaning. Now, this is critical to grasp the multi-dimensional set of truths, not truths, the multi-dimensional set of beliefs, false beliefs, lies, that accompany this one major law, this one major lie. So you've got to grasp the concept of a satanic stronghold. You've got to master your under... You cannot be free and set other people free unless you master the concept of the satanic stronghold, such as the evolutionary lie that man arrived in the world or universe or creation through spontaneous random chance evolution, just like if you were to go to Las Vegas. That is a lie. But the power of that lie, and remember, that lie was created by one of the most brilliant minds that ever existed. And that mind wasn't Charles Darwin. That's the genius mind of a powerful fallen angel named Lucifer or Satan, the father of lies. Because you see, from this one root lie flows all kinds of subsets of lies that control human behavior, that controls nations, that control children, family, man, etc., etc. That's why it's a satanic stronghold. So from that one lie, let's look at some of the subsets of lies that come out of that satanic stronghold. First of all, when you believe evolution, you don't believe in right or wrong because you don't believe in the infinite personal living God of the universe. You only believe in evolutionary brute force, the superior animal species, the stronger animal species, through pure brute force and cunning, has the evolutionary right to devour and destroy the weaker species. Thus, the stronger species triumphs over the weaker species, and evolutionary progress is made, because the fittest survive. It's very animalistic. It's like being in this jungle. And then evolutionary theory teaches us that there is no right, there is no wrong. There's only brute force. In other words, evolutionary theory, when you really understand all the multi-dimensional or all the various floors of belief systems that is contained in this one carrier called evolution, you start off with that there is no personal living God of the universe, there's no such thing as right or wrong, and that you can do, evolution teaches mankind and young children and the globalist elite believe and operate and behave on the basis of evolution. They believe that you can do anything you want to as long as you have the power to do it. You have the right to do it. And the only way that you could be hindered from doing anything you want to do is if somebody had enough power to stop you. Now, this is all disguised with social pleasantries and smiles and great pretensions of being compassionate, noble, humanitarian men. But those are all lies. You reject the reality of the infinite personal living God of the universe, God who is love, and you replace him with a non-personal soulless system in which The strongest has the right to destroy the weakest. It's a very cruel system. Now, you take these streams of thought, the flowing of these thoughts, and you see how it shapes our world and it shapes people's thinking and minds. The next step is, since there is no God, whatever feels good, do it. Whatever, you see, society plays games. It compartmentalizes truths and lies. It pretends that there are reasons to behave ethically, morally, kindly, and with love. But there's no real reason for it, because the satanic stronghold is essentially saying, whatever feels good, do it. You have, according to evolution, every right to do whatever you want, no matter how disgusting, perverse, evil, cruel, barbaric, or monstrous it is. You have the full right to do it if you have the power to get away with it and the power to make sure nobody stops you. That is what final reality is in evolution. Now, that's all dressed up and disguised as this, but this is a lie, that, you know, evolution says that we can do whatever we want, and man, because that sounds so barbaric, they want to, like conceal what it really means, so they kind of revise it to say that we can do anything we want to do, but we choose, even though there's no God and there's no right or wrong, we choose as good humanists to behave morally and to treat our fellow man and woman and children in moral and ethical and loving and kind and compassionate ways. But you see, that's a big lie. That's a big lie. To placate the masses, to make people feel good in the lying delusion or the great apostasy of their whatever might makes right. If you have the power, you have the right to do it. Now, this is important. Now, let me say this. Christian churches and Christian pastors and Christian seminaries are not equipping young Christians and adult Christians and young Christians on how to deal with the real reality of what I've just shared with you. They're totally not equipped. And so when they enter the upper grades of high school, or they enter college or university or whatever, and they're confronted with the implications, the full implications of evolution, their heads spin, and it's like a bulldozer is crashing through the walls of their brain and demolishing all the beliefs they once had about God and love and kindness and ethics and virtue and morals. The secular university system just sends bulldozers into their minds and destroys all that stuff. Because you see, there's a lie. The lie is that man, you see, humanists teach a lie. The lie of humanism says that man is basically good, which means man is not sinful, man does not have a fallen nature. The lie of humanism is that man is basically good, but it is his environment that can make him evil or twisted or sick. All right? So if we can simply improve the environment and equalize the economics, every man and woman will behave in a decent, honorable, and virtuous manner. But that's a total lie. It's a total lie. And the purpose of Christianity, the purpose of having a biblical worldview, is teaching your children, teaching adults, young adults, teaching Christians how to confront and engage a system of lies or satanic strongholds with the truth. So the humanists, the globalist elite, they don't play any games in their private meetings. Now they'll say the truth in their literature, because they're counting on the masses of working class people and middle class people. They're counting on working class and middle class people to behave like stupid people who don't read and don't educate themselves. And tragically, that's largely the truth. That's why they laugh. They smoke their expensive cigars. They sit in their, you know, skyscrapers in the most expensive parts of Manhattan. And they make decisions that are totally ruthless, but they laugh. And they use terms like cull the herd, because again, they view us like a bunch of cows that have overbred, and they intend to kill off or cull the herd. And they have a very sophisticated, long-term, brutal game plan in how they're going to do it, but they don't feel guilty about it. That's what you have to understand. And unless you impart this to your children, unless you're ready to accept this for yourself, you can never be free. As long as you're walking around in a delusion, in some kind of Mary Poppins fairy tale delusion about what life in reality is all about, you will never be able to be used by God to become free and set other people free. Because you're walking around in a delusion. Okay, so this is what it comes down to. Now, Christianity teaches that there's a loving God. God loves mankind. Therefore, this loving God created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. And then there was the fall of man. And the disobedience of Adam and Eve, who rejected God's word, activated the law of sin and death. And that caused man to become evil, barbaric, and to die. But the sin nature of man is a truth. Man is not basically good. There's no evidence in history for that at all. So this is how it plays out. In the highest echelons of authority and power in this world, in America and around the world, you have secret groups of the occult elite who meet. They are the shadow government. They are the deep state. You read my books, Mass Awakening and Conquering the Matrix and A Prophecy of the Future of America, and I document all of this heavily. They have no qualms about killing off the excess herd. So they said in the Georgia Guidestones that they're going to reduce Earth's population from 7 billion to like 3 billion or 2 billion in a very short time span. How are they going to do it? Because they truly believe that excessive population is man's number one problem. Conversely, the Bible teaches that we're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. Well, if you read their documents, if you read their literature, you discover that things like Agenda 21, the environmental movement, the climate change movement, all the United Nations programs, etc., are nothing more than acts of trickery, a Trojan horse that masquerades to be acts of kindness by the globalist elite, in which they say they're going to protect the environment, keep us from all perishing, give us nutritional food, redistribute the wealth fairly, create social justice, ensure that the basic rights of all of mankind are protected. That's what they tell us, you know, this one world, new world order is all about. And they because they control the media, they brainwash people by the millions and millions and millions into going along with this. But it's a total lie. And the reason that they're able to sell the total lie to the masses is they're using highly sophisticated, highly technological, highly scientific mind control technology, brainwashing technology, social engineering, propaganda, persuasion, hypnosis, and things like that via the media. The average person has no idea as to how sophisticated and how far advanced we are into the future when it comes to sciences that most people don't even know are sciences. We all know that physics has come a long way in the last 100 years. We all know that biology has come a long way in the last 100 years. We all know that genetics has come a long way in the last 100 years. But very few people, Christians included, have any clue whatsoever that there exist serious sciences, such as the Science and Technology of Scientific Mind Control, Scientific Persuasion, Scientific Propaganda. They have no idea that there exists technology, scientific techniques, and sciences that are just as advanced as genetics and physics, but the inventions and technology take place in hidden areas of science known as scientific mind control, social engineering, brainwashing, etc. That this is, that first of all, most people don't even know that this exists. Second of all, they don't know that it does exist, and anything you may think it can do, it's really 100 to 200 years more advanced and more futuristic than 99.9% of the population of planet Earth has any idea what is possible. You see, we see glimpses of what's possible in all the movies, the science fiction movies. But the reality is, you know, like when Johnny Depp uploaded his consciousness from his dead body in the movie Transcendence, that's just one little thing that can be done. But we're really 100 years to 200 years further into the future than that. So in this scientific dictatorship that Aldous Huxley talked about, the whole idea in his novel Brave New World is that a utopian dictatorship breeds people to be like the dumb worker bees, kind of the management class, kind of like the middle class, kind of like the upper management class, and then the elite classes. Okay, you actually breed genetically people to fit various levels of slavery. And as Huxley said, with scientific mind control, you can program the masses to be your slaves, and if you program them efficiently, they have no idea that they're functioning as your slaves, and that they can actually be programmed to love their slavery and to love their slave duties. They're totally clueless. This is what the hidden technology in Mystery Babylon was all about at the time of the Tower of Babel. And you can discover my documentation of that fact in the Babylon Code and in my book, Prophecy of the Future of America, Conquering the Matrix and Mass Awakening. So, what does all this mean? We covered a lot of territory. We now are at the place in history where, as we read the other day, God, in his prophetic word, because you see, God knew all this was coming. He couldn't describe it to his people the way I just described it to you, because most of these terms would have been not understandable in a society that hadn't reached the technological scientific age yet. But in contemporary society, Jesus would have spoken in a far more technological scientific manner. So let's read about this great apostasy. Now, let's remember that there exists a globalist elite. This globalist elite, by the way, totally controls the mainstream media. It controls the tech giants, the social media, the internet, and many, many other things. It's a form of mass mind control that keeps the people in slavery. And it uses all kinds of techniques, such as dividing people along racial and ethnic group lines, kind of a divide and conquer strategy. So the Bible says that before the coming of the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is a false Christ, it's Lucifer possessing a man, and the very thing that God forbid in ancient Babylon at the Tower of Babel. And by the way, the Tower of Babel was an interdimensional stargate or portal that allowed for the entrance of interdimensional entities or fallen angels to come through one dimension and enter the earth. That's the technological purpose of the Tower of Babel. and you say, you know, I have difficulty believing it. You have difficulty believing it because you haven't done any homework on it. Read my book, Prophecy of the Future of America, Conquering the Matrix, Mass Awakening, and you'll see that it's true. The CERN scientific experiment where they're smashing atoms, etc., at very, very high speeds is doing the same thing that the Tower of Babel did. CERN is a technological scientific device that was built to open up an interdimensional portal that will allow into the Earth interdimensional beings, or what Christians would call fallen angels. That's why when you go back to the original Hebrew translation of the term Babylon, it literally means gate of the gods. What do you mean, gate of the gods? It's a stargate that allows gods or fallen angels to come into the earth. Because the Bible teaches us that in the last days, that our fight is not against flesh and blood or people, but it's against the principalities, the powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And that the way we fight these demonic entities is we use spiritual weapons. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we use spiritual weapons and we put on the full armor of God, and we recognize that what the Apostle Paul said was true. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And there's a whole hierarchical structure of demonic beings. Now, the Antichrist heads up the global government, and he's possessed by Satan. The false prophet heads up the one world economic system and the one world religion. All of these globalist systems existed at the Tower of Babel. And this is what the globalist elite are very much involved in. Because the Tower, why did God come down and judge the Tower of Babel and judge ancient Babylon? He judged ancient Babylon because God knew it was Luciferian. What was in the hearts of the people was a desire to worship Lucifer and to build a world in which Lucifer was God. So God judged ancient Babylon and warned that judgment would come again if mankind decided to disobey God again and allowed a new world order, which is just a code word for mystery Babylon, to rise again. In the time period that you and I live in, the plan by the globalist occult elite, many who are Luciferians at the top of the very top of the pyramid, is to build a new world order, which is Luciferian in nature and consists of a one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system. The reason that the globalist elite, which are the wealthiest, most powerful people in the world, they're super capitalists, not communists, not socialists, they're super capitalists. The reason they're continually promoting socialism and communism and Marxism and always calling for a one world socialist, communist, Marxist government is because they know, using their vast intelligence, that they can control the masses, total lockdown, better through a one-world socialist, one-world communist, one-world Marxist government than they can through a government like the United States, where you have a constitution and a Bill of Rights and certain freedoms. That makes it difficult to rule the people with dictatorial control. And so that's why the globalist elite have taken gatherings of nations all across the planet, and they've turned all the nations of planet Earth into 10 regional global governments: the European Union, the African Union, the Asian Union, the North American Union, which is the coming together of Canada, Mexico, and the United States, and other such unions. What they are, in reality, is 10 regional global governments. Now, God warned about the return of Mystery Babylon, and that God would judge it when it happens. Mystery Babylon, by the way, is a Luciferian system. So how does all of this happen? All of this happens when you allow lies to flourish, when you reject the truth of God's word, when the church rejects the truth of God's word, when the culture rejects the truth of God's word, and is captured or ensnared or trapped by the deception of Lucifer, what is called the great apostasy, or the great delusion, or the great falling away, or spiritual deception, begins to take over the minds and hearts and intellects of God's people in the church. You see, God's people in the church are supposed to be free. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. They're supposed to be free. Their minds are supposed to be renewed by the word of God. Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." But whenever God's people choose to reject God's word, like Adam and Eve did, they went into captivity. They went into slavery under a Luciferian system. That is always the price for rejecting the truth of God's word. So since God's people in America and many Western nations, the majority of Christian pastors in America and in other nations of the world, the majority of individual Christians, the majority of seminaries, churches, Bible teachers, especially in America, because America is more accountable because it was once a Christian nation, have decided to reject the truth of God's word, which is like the worst sin a person can commit. You see, rejecting the truth of God's word always releases a curse. When Adam and Eve rejected the truth of God's word and believed Lucifer's lie, they activated the law of sin and death. Man began to die, and man was born with a fallen nature, destined to hell unless a person repents and then by faith accepts or believes God's word. So if the church or individuals choose to believe God's word and not reject it and put their faith in God's word and accept it, they can be forgiven of their sins. They can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They can become born again and spend all eternity with Christ in heaven. It always comes down to whether or not you're going to reject or accept God's word, whether you're going to put your faith in God's word, or you're going to rebel against God's word. If you rebel against God's word, you always open the floodgates to demonic control and destruction. And if you put your faith in God's word, you can receive revival, restoration, eternal life and salvation. It's simple, but it's God's primary law. So the great apostasy is what happens in the last days. We're in the latter part of the last days. So the great apostasy is in this time period, which we're here in America. If you're listening to me somewhere in the European Union, you are in the same prophetic time zone that we are here in the U.S., If you're listening to me in Australia or New Zealand, France or Germany, one of the Scandinavian countries, South Africa, a nation in Africa, one of the Middle Eastern nations, the U.S., Canada, a nation in South America, wherever you're listening to me, Paul McGuire talk on the Paul McGuire Report, you're facing the same basic spiritual battle. Truth versus error. And let me give you an example. This has nothing to do with racism. If you misconstrue this as a racist comment, then you didn't bother to use the mind that God gave you. You chose to simply process it on a very immature level. Look at what's happening in South Africa. I'm not here to justify everything the white people did to the black people in South Africa. That's not my purpose. But I am saying that when you have a communist government, because you see, communism goes against the laws of God, and you can't argue otherwise, because communism clearly teaches that there is no God, only man, and there is no right or wrong. So when you have a communist government rise to power, the same exact thing always happens every single time without exception. It's a historical, mathematical, economic law that never deviates. Whenever you have a communist government come to power, the exact same things always happen. So what's happening in South Africa is you have a communist revolution. It is true, economic injustice. There were serious problems in South Africa. But the problem is communism as a solution is worse than the problem. So now that they're seizing the farms from the white owners of the farms, which is what happens in communist nations, that will lead to mass starvation because there will be no food produced. And the Africans of South America will suffer the worst. Then they are going out to confiscate all the guns from the white farmers. That will allow the white farmers to be slaughtered and murdered in cold blood. See, this is what always happens in communism. The same thing happened in Russia. Communist revolutions always produce poverty, starvation, concentration camps, mass death, loss of freedoms and dictatorship. There is no communist revolution in the history of mankind that has ever departed the formula. And so as long as you're ignorant and deprived of the truth, like most Christians are in America, you are ripe for slavery. Because, you know, people have been so dumbed down in America and the other nations that they judge something by how nice a person is, or is this president hip and stuff. Well, that's not how you judge a president. So in America, since they've dumbed down several generations in a row, you have many young Americans and young adults who have no idea of what communism or Marxism or socialism always produces in a nation. So you have all these people, because of their ignorance, they're flocking, and they truly believe, because they're non-educated and they're being brainwashed, they truly believe that socialism is going to meet all their needs and they're going to have heaven on earth and a utopia, that they're going to really have social justice. They're really going to have a fair redistribution of wealth. And once they get rid of all the evil capitalists, etc., everything's going to go great. Okay, that's an ambitious series of thoughts. The problem is there is not one historical example ever of any nation that had a communist revolution, socialist, Marxist revolution, where the way it played out is that the common people, the working people, ended up getting their fair share of the money, having the wealth fairly redistributed, were given back their rights, and it worked out in a good way. There's not one single example. In every communist Marxist revolution, without exception, you had mass bloodshed, you had hundreds of millions of people die, sent to concentration camps, re-education camps, mass slaughter, mass starvation, mass starvation, and the taking away of all the rights of the people. That is what happens in a communist society. But you have hundreds of millions of people that have been scientifically dumbed down, are incapable of making an intelligent decision. And you say, well, capitalism doesn't work. Well, you may be right. Capitalism without Christianity, real Christianity, can become a monstrosity of a system and oppress people like crazy. Capitalism, without the restraining force of Christianity, and the accountability of true biblical Christianity, not sold out Christianity, demands love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So capitalism can become very brutal. But there's a basic dynamic here that uneducated people are unaware of, and that is the very nature of capitalism, which can be very oppressive, has certain checks and balances in it which ultimately allow more prosperity, more income, more jobs, more food, more freedoms than a communist Marxist system. And there's no exception to that in human history. Now, you also have to understand that the people who are running the world, the globalist elite, they're all super capitalists. So all the people that are using the advertising, the scientific mind control, the media, the social media, the internet to program the youth around the world that socialism is the answer, the people that are programming the youth are not socialists. They're not communists or Marxists. They're not activists. They're super billionaires like George Soros, who works for Rothschild. They're the wealthiest super capitalists in the entire world. So you got to, but the people are so dumbed down, they can't even do the basic math. Why do you think that the super capitalists, who are the wealthiest people on planet Earth, and let me emphasize, they're the super capitalists, why would the super capitalists, the super billionaires like George Soros, be all motivated to promote socialism among the masses of minorities, Hispanics, African Americans, working class white people, middle class people, et cetera, et cetera? Why? Use your head, man. The masses, this isn't a racial comment, it includes white people too. The masses have been so dumbed down that they can't understand the basic con game, the basic trickery that's going on. They ask yourself the question. People see, they're organizing all these protests. Let's be communists. The evil capitalists have ruined everything. Yet, they're too dumb to understand that it's the super capitalists that are promoting everything that is driving the masses, the workers, the working class, to create some kind of revolution to bring in a communist, socialist, Marxist government. Why would the super capitalists be interested in the masses having a revolution and having a communist, capitalist, Marxist government? Well, it's real simple if you're not dumbed down and you haven't drunken the Kool-Aid. It's real simple because the super capitalists are the wealthiest people in the world. They're the people that run the world through the shadow governments. They control the media, the internet, the whole deal. They control politicians. They are the puppet masters that control the politicians who are their puppets. And the reason they're promoting socialism and all the stupid, dumbed down people of all races following along, like, you know, what is it, Occupy Wall Street? You know, I'm going to be blunt. All the radical activists, white people, college educated and other races, who rallied behind Occupy Wall Street were too dumbed down to understand the basic facts, which is the entire Occupy Wall Street movement was financed by Wall Street. Too dumb. Too dumb. Why? Why do they do this? Why does the elite do this? Because the most efficient way to enslave the masses, take total control over the people and enslave the people, the most efficient way to dominate the planet Earth with a dictatorship controlled by the globalist elite, the fastest and most efficient way is through a communist one-world government or a Marxist socialist one-world government. Plain and simple, period, end of story. They're not interested in you and your rights, you fool. They want total control. They want to be the kings and queens of planet Earth. And the fast, and they're very bright people, by the way. They didn't allow themselves to be dumbed down. They don't have their kids glued to cell phones and laptops all day long, so they can't even think or speak an intelligent sentence. They know the best way to enslave the most amount of people and turn them into slaves as fast as possible is by getting them to get on board with a global socialist Marxist communist government. That's it. That's it. Why? Because globalism, communism, and Marxism are antichrist in nature. The teachings of those movements, globalism, Marxism, and communism, teach there is no God, the state or man is God. That's from the spirit of the Antichrist. They teach that there is no wrong or right. That's from the spirit of the Antichrist. They teach that the individual doesn't matter, only the collective, the group mind matters. That's the total opposite of what the Bible teach. Communism and Marxism are completely loveless societies. They're all based on brute Darwinian evolution, and they enslave the masses in the fastest way possible. That's what it's all about, man. And yet you talk to people, and because they've been programmed, because they're heavily under mind control, because they're in a trance state, and because they have not been taught how to think in the public school system, through the media, through the social media, they're easy to brainwash. You know, I've read these accounts, and when people like George Soros, one of the globalist elite, get together, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Brzezinski, and other high-level members of the globalist elite, they sit around and laugh. They sit around and laugh at the minorities, the African-Americans, the Hispanics, the working-class whites, the middle class. And every once in a while it leaks out, like when Hillary Clinton used the word deplorables for people who vote for Trump. They're laughing at you. You're sitting there protesting, thinking you're all being noble and stuff. You're building your own concentration camp, and they're laughing at you. They don't believe in right and wrong. Their conscience doesn't bother them. Don't you understand that? They don't believe in God. They believe they are gods. They don't have a conscience that bothers them. That's why it was Wall Street. Wake up. Do your homework. It was Wall Street and the big international bankers that financed Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, as well as the communists and the Americans. The Wall Street bankers financed both sides of the war. And why did the Wall Street bankers finance Adolf Hitler? Adolf Hitler killed 8 million people on purpose in the Holocaust. That was all about culling the herd, wiping out what they considered a genetically inferior race. And the Nazis were all about genetically breeding a master race of blonde-haired, blue-eyed people. That was all done by Rockefeller, the biggest super capitalist in the world. I mean, you'll never hear that in the media. They're not going to tell you that. They want you to play. They want you to watch porn all day long, listen to music, do drugs, and be stupid, because they're laughing all the way to the bank. And then they're going to replace so many of your jobs with robots, androids, and computers in the next 5 years, you're not going to even know what hit you. And you're so gullible. You're actually so gullible, you really believe they're going to pay you a middle-class working salary for sitting on your posterior and doing nothing. So you have all these communist, socialist, European nations saying, oh, we'll take care of you. You may lose your job, but we'll pay you a nice middle-class salary every year. And we have companies and groups in the United States promising the same thing to Americans. Oh, don't worry about the fact that androids and computers or robots are going to take over your job, because, you know, we're going to pay you a nice middle-class salary. How stupid can you be? I mean, you really got to be stupid. They'll do that for a couple of years to keep a revolution, to keep an uprising from happening. But once they have this lockdown and they've replaced human beings with computers, robots, androids, etc., computers work 24/7. You don't need healthcare or anything else. These governments that are telling you they're going to pay for your giving you a nice middle class wage every year for doing nothing, after about 3 years, once they got it locked down, they're going to cut off your pay. and this is what you're gonna wake up and recognize what the game was all about. You will be given the opportunity to either starve to death or work at slave labor like the people did in communist China and the other communist nations. You will be given the opportunity to work at slave labor wages because you have no choice, or to starve and die. They're not going to pay you a middle-class salary for doing nothing. Read history. When has that ever happened in human history? But you see, people are so dumbed down. It's tragic. They're dumbed down. You say, well, where does this fit in Bible prophecy? If I have to explain that to you, then you have a serious... Somebody unplugged your brain a long time ago. But I'll be kind, and I'll plug your brain back right into the electric socket right now. What does this have to do with Bible prophecy? Everything, if you'd bothered to read your Bible. But no, you go to churches that are under a curse from God. Yeah, you choose to go to churches that are under a curse from God. Because God says in the book of Revelation that to everybody who reads the book of Revelation, which is all about Bible prophecy, God promises to pour out a supernatural blessing on those people. But then God also says in the book of Revelation that if you don't read the book of Revelation, if you prevent your people from reading the book of Revelation, if you censor the book of Revelation, or you change or pervert the meaning of the book of Revelation, God says he's going to put a curse on you. I mean, that's very plain. That's the only book in the Bible, Bible prophecy, book of Revelation, where God promises a supernatural blessing if you're faithful with it, and a supernatural curse if you're not. So there are hundreds of millions of Christians all across the world that go with a big smile on their face to churches all across America where the pastor and the committee or the denomination has literally forbid the teaching of Bible prophecy, any passage of Scripture that's controversial, and they've deliberately forbidden the teaching of the book of Revelation. That means you can know for certainty that you're attending a church which is under a curse by God. And if you're going to a church where they're faithful to teach the prophetic scriptures to you, then you're going to a church that's under the blessing of God. Now, let me ask you a rhetorical question. Who in their right mind would claim to be a believer in Jesus Christ and attend a church where God's word says it's under a curse because they're not teaching Revelation? Don't blame God when your life starts to go into a downward spiral. Don't blame God. Please don't blame God. He warned you. Don't blame God. It's not God's fault. It's your fault because you disobeyed him, because you couldn't get off your posterior and stop watching television and read the Bible and read very plainly in Revelation that there's a curse that's released on a church or Christians that don't teach Bible prophecy or pervert its meaning, and there's a blessing on those who faithfully teach Bible prophecy. Now, this is one. Now, really quickly, in terms of Bible prophecy, what made America great? Not because we're better than anybody else. America became great because the Pilgrims and Puritans followed what the children of Israel did. They entered into a covenant with God, which means contract, where if they committed to God to worship the true God only, which is the biblical God, and they chose not to worship the pagan gods or the false gods, and if they chose to hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, which means if God's people chose to read the word diligently and act on the word diligently, God promises to raise that nation up supernaturally above all the nations of the earth. God promises that individual, that nation, that family that chooses to worship the true God and to study his word diligently and obey God's word diligently, that God's blessing will be upon every sphere and area of their life, economically, their health, their enemies will be defeated, every imaginable area of life, you will be under a blessing if you obey the word, read the word, and worship the true God of the Bible. But if you're doing what most Christians are doing today, let's get down. Let's get down to it, man. I'm tired of playing games, really. It's getting really late in the hour, really late. If you're doing what most Christians are doing in America and around the world today, you are not worshiping the true God of the Bible. You're worshiping a God out of your own imagination. It may not be Baal or Ashtaroth or whatever, but you're worshiping gods called personal peace and prosperity. In other words, you're worshiping a God of your own mental creation. Whatever will you think in your mind will bring you personal peace, prosperity, and a good life, that's what you're worshiping. That's what you're following. That's not the biblical God. That's your lust and your selfishness that you're worshiping. Number two is, it happens to be a flat-out fact and truth that the overwhelming percentage of Christians are not reading the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. They're not studying God's Word, and they are not reading God's prophetic Word or the book of Revelation. Therefore, that long list of curses in Deuteronomy 28, because remember that passage, that chapter is called the blessings and the curses. All the curses, your life will start to unwind. You'll go into captivity. You'll get sick. You won't know why. All the curses will come upon you. You say, that scares me. Well, I didn't make this up. Don't blame me. If you're scared, don't blame me. You should have a healthy amount of fear. Just like when you drive on the freeway in LA, you should have a healthy amount of fear that you pay attention, that you have a cup of coffee, and you drive on the part of the freeway where all the traffic is going in the same direction. Okay, that's called a healthy amount of fear. And if you're too tired to drive and you're not paying attention and you get on the freeway where all the oncoming traffic is coming right at you and you're driving right into them, and you die in a fatal car crash, don't blame God. You chose to disobey the rules. You were warned. Now, where is this in Bible prophecy? Everywhere. It's never God's desire to bring his people into captivity. That's not God's desire. God is love. But I'm going to tell you something in love, and not for the purpose of scaring people. But this is one of the goals of Paul McGuire Ministries. Not goals. This is what God has called us to do at Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church. God has called us to do this. And we're obedient with the partnership and help of many of you. It's to speak the truth in love. Now, I know I was tough today, but it was from love. If I didn't love the people that I'm communicating, I wouldn't bother to say this. This is not easy to say. This is not easy to say. It's not comfortable to say. I could play it safe and lie to you like a lot of people do. But my conscience bothers me. If you're going to insist to go to, if you're going to insist and rebel against God and go to a church which is a big social club and they really don't teach the Word of God, don't blame God when your life starts to fall apart and this nation goes to hell in a handbasket. Don't blame God. Because you were given a chance to repent many times, such as now when you're listening to this program. If we want to see revival, and if we want to see God move and restore our nation, and that applies to you listening to me and any nation on planet Earth, then we need to repent, we need to obey the Word of God, we need to stop playing church, and we need to get our thoughts, minds, and lives lined up with God's Word and read especially His prophetic Word. Because guess what? We're in the last part of the last days. And Jesus Christ gave us a command. Occupy the land until I come. Make disciples of all nations. Win souls to Jesus Christ. And bring in this last day soul harvest, because we're at the end of the age. You see, we have to do our job. The fields are white with harvest. The prophetic signs are happening everywhere. There's spiritual warfare in the governments all over the world. We have to do our part. And then the end comes. But the reason the Lord is holding back his returning is because his greatest and overwhelming desire is, because he's love, is to win every possible soul that will come to him. He wants to give an opportunity for every single person who will come to him to come to him. And then the tribulation begins. Because we'll say that for another time. So I suggest that you get educated. You know, it's time for Christians to get mean and lean. And when I say mean and lean, I don't mean nasty and cruel and self-righteous and judgmental, but just have that cutting edge. We have The Day That a Dollar Died, Prophecy of the Future of America, Mass Awakening, Conquering the Matrix, all available at a special price. You need to read it, study it, take notes. And instead of teaching the stuff, the sedative Christian teaching that puts you to sleep in your private Bible studies, do Bible studies on books that challenge you. I mean, really challenge you. Because that's how you get revival, see? And if you're confused as to what my motive is love. Why? Because I used to hate Christianity. I was one of these rebels. But God saved me because he loved me. And I believe that the Lord, I believe in what the Lord says in his word. Love your neighbors as yourself. If you love your neighbors yourself, you're not going to keep your mouth shut while they're going to hell. You're going to find a compelling, diplomatic way to reach them by telling them the truth. Now, I know this was a tough message, and I don't like, you know, there's some people that's going to are going to misperceive me as being mean, but that is not mean. That's like how a loving father acts to his children when they're in danger of harming themselves. And I'm not going to be a watchman who fell asleep in the watchtower and didn't warn the people of God that the enemy was coming. I can't do that. I must obey the Lord rather than the men. Okay? I'd rather have the disapproval of men and women than risk the disapproval of God. So together we can change the direction of the spiritual battle. We can, but this is now nuts and bolts, get down to business time because of where we are in the prophetic timeline. Together we can do this. So I'm asking you to stand with me because we're in a raging spiritual battle. I'm asking you to pray for the nation, pray for our government, both sides. Pray for revival. Pray for me, my family, and this ministry. Seek the Lord about what you can do personally. Get involved. Be engaged. And if you don't want to be engaged with this ministry, then find a ministry that the Lord's leading you to plug into and get engaged. Get engaged. Help us do an end run around censorship on the internet. Because guess what? They're coming after Christians in the Bible next. And seek the Lord and say, Lord, how much do you want me to give financially in terms of donations and contributions to help Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church reach everybody they can as fast as possible? We're doing some thrilling things. One is we're helping to launch a giant event in the middle of the United States with veterans and their families and homeschoolers and everything else that will be live streamed. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, I'm not going to give away names and I don't want to be misperceived as bragging. But we have we have close relationships with people who are giving the book Trumpocalypse, which is designed to teach Bible prophecy to people in power and ordinary Christians. And they're giving it to the highest leaders in the land and sitting down with them and explaining it to them. And when I say highest leaders in the land, I'm talking about more than one, and I'm talking about at the highest levels of government. That's what it means to disciple the nations. And I can't name the name now of the people that are doing that, but you'd know their name. Some of them are very famous people. And I'm not saying that to say that the fame is important, but if I told you who they did and what they did, they're just not like celebrity types. They're like people who, I can't give it away at this point, and feature films that will change the nation. So together, This is spiritual battle time. Peaceful, loving, law-abiding spiritual battle. So would you join me? I'm Paul McGuire. Pray, visit paulmcguire.us. Please spread this program far and wide. Together we can occupy the land until he comes. Because we have a job to do, by the way, before Jesus comes. We must bring in the last day's soul harvest. God bless you. I'm Paul McGuire, your servant in Christ. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.